Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Shifting Dream by Move Frosty. To preface this, I'll talk about some of the things that happen rarely when I'm trying to drift off to sleep. If you have low blood pressure and you ever get up too fast, you feel like you're spinning and your vision is blurry. Sometimes when I'm very tired and half asleep or on the verge of unconsciousness, I get this thing in my chest where my eyes are closed and I feel this extreme dizziness that comes in heartbeats. It feels like my entire body is getting increasingly numb, and it sort of spreads throughout with every breath I take. It's very hard to explain, but it feels amazing and ethereal, like my being is this static fuzz that's spreading throughout my body, trying to leave. Anyways, a few months ago, I was laying in bed, very absent-minded. It was like I was in some vegetable state where I was half asleep and just couldn't let myself get unconscious. I don't remember falling asleep, but I remember almost everything else. I felt that same feeling, which happens pretty often, so it wasn't that unusual for me, and I sort of leaned into it this time. It felt like I completely lost track of all space and time. I didn't have any memory of anything. I had no idea where I was or when it was, but I wasn't asking why. I felt like I was spinning, almost like when you're on nitrous oxide at the dentist. I was completely unaware of everything except for what was happening in the present. I was spinning in blank space, literally absent-minded this time. After a while, I felt this wind coming from my feet, and I could hear the wind. It would go from my feet to my head, and I felt like grass in a field getting blown by the wind. I remember visualizing that exact thing and feeling so similar to it. After a while, I started hearing whispering and conversations around me. At this time, I still had no identity or memory of anything. It just felt like I was fully immersed in this experience, like my subconscious was on hold. People were whispering and talking around me, and I was trying so hard to understand them. The voices varied from very comforting voices to harsh screaming in my ear. It was like I was hearing everyone's voice at once, just blaring in my head. Yet, they were still singular and audible. I remember very clearly, at a certain point, I heard myself. I then saw a version of me as a child. He said in a very comforting and sort of positively preachy voice, "I want an expressive smile." That may have just been the only sentence I made out from all of the voices, but I remember it was me. There was a sort of pause in my memory. I don't remember much, except for being in another dream. In this dream, I remember knowing who I was and having some memories. I was in my room again, in the same exact position that I had been in before. I heard my brother playing drums through the vents very clearly, which he does often in the house. My mother walked in, and she was really pissed off at me. I don't remember the exact words, but she invited me down to eat dinner, and I said no. I also remember there being a golden Sonic plushie on the floor beside my bed. After a while, I woke up and I was just in awe. I couldn't think about anything but that for a few days. It almost felt more real than reality, and the events were so weird and unusual, yet fitting. Looking back on it, I think that maybe I met a parallel version of myself in my head, and I was sort of getting pulled through this plane full of them, all talking to me. Maybe I briefly shifted to another reality, another version of me. What really gets me and makes me wonder is that my mom literally invited me down to dinner. Maybe I'm looking into some weird dream too much, but it absolutely felt like someone was inviting me to join a parallel universe. It was so surreal and still has a huge impact on me today. I could talk for hours about how weird this dream was, and many people have theories about dreams just being parallel versions of yourself. This one felt like an invitation, like I could have permanently shifted, but I just didn't accept it. Has anyone had any similar experiences to this?
Haunted by Mama Jade. My family and I moved into a two-bedroom house several years ago. The house had been sitting empty for at least 2 years before we arrived. It was me, my husband, and our two boys. Shortly after we moved in, my youngest son woke up crying in the middle of the night. I quickly hopped out of bed and ran upstairs to check on him. Through tears, he told me, "There's an old lady in the middle of my room, and she's screaming." I tried to comfort him, telling him it was probably just a bad dream and everything was all right. A week or two later, my oldest son said, "Mom, there's an old lady in our room, and she's yelling really loud." One night, as I was putting him to bed, I lay down next to him. As I rolled over, facing him, I saw it. For a split second, I saw the old lady. She was wearing a white gown, lying in place of my son. It lasted for only a moment, but it was enough. That was the moment I knew I had to do something. The next day, I sat both boys down and explained that we were going to tell this lady she was not welcome here. I had them walk around the entire house with me as we saged every corner, and together we told the ghost that she had to leave. My boys were both very young, but I hoped having them be a part of it would help empower them and ease their fear. About a month later, I asked my oldest, "Do you still see the old lady in your room?" And he said, matter-of-factly, "No. She can only look at us through the window now." Another time, after I'd put the boys to bed, I went downstairs for some quiet time. Everyone was asleep, and I was playing a game on my Kindle. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw movement on the stairs. It looked like a dog bounding down. I lowered the Kindle slightly. A head peeked around the stair railing, looking straight at me. It looked like a strange cross between Howdy Doody and Gollum from Lord of the Rings, and it was pitch black. For a second, I thought it was one of my boys playing a prank. It even felt playful, almost like a game of peekaboo. I wasn't scared until I realized both of my kids were sound asleep upstairs. That realization sent a chill through me. The last experience is probably the most meaningful. Ever since we moved in, the upstairs staircase has always felt heavy. At first, I thought it was just me. But one day, my oldest son told me, Mom, I always feel like someone's watching me on the stairs. I started doing some research, listening to podcasts, reading about spirits and energy. Over time, I kept encountering the idea of trapped souls, and the notion that some people, empaths, might be able to help. In my mind's eye, I began to picture a young, thin man sitting on our stairs. He didn't feel threatening. He just felt sad, stuck. So, over several nights, as I lay in bed, I began to focus on him, to send thoughts his way. I gently encouraged him to look for the light, to move toward it. I never spoke out loud. It was more like a quiet, inward coaxing. I don't know exactly how to explain it, but after a while, I felt like he knew I could see him, that I was trying to help. And eventually, the heavy feeling lifted. We've now lived in this house for years, and I'm convinced that the man on the stairs has moved on. Just in case, though, I've put some LED lights along the staircase. It's still the darkest part of the house, after all.
I Don't Feel Safe in My House by Significant Or 9292. Ever since my father died back in 2018, I've had this feeling of unease. I remember my first experience with the paranormal being maybe 2 years after my father's passing. I was in bed asleep. It was probably about 3 or 2 a.m. I'm not quite sure. And I woke up like I often did back then, so it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. Since I couldn't fall back to sleep, I just listened to the noises outside. But then I started hearing what either sounded like footsteps or wood cracking from downstairs. The house I live in with my family was built in the 80s and has hardwood floors, so those cracks are pretty common. This time, though, it sounded more like someone or something was walking up the stairs. For some context, after my father's death, my mother always locked the door that led from the staircase to the floor where our bedrooms are, because she didn't feel safe anymore. So I listen to these noises as they continue and then stop right at the door. I thought to myself, maybe it's just the wood. But then I heard the sound of the doorknob being pressed down and then violently shaking. Somehow my brother and my mother didn't wake up from all the noise. Now, being just a kid, I froze. I closed my eyes and hoped that it would go away. I woke up the next morning and told my mom. She said that the noise was probably just a letter being thrown in the mailbox. But at 2 a.m.? Well, in the years to come, I got paranoid, and that's maybe the origin of some of the things I experienced. There were times when I would feel something graze my shoulder. I would hear disembodied voices from downstairs while my mom was out in the garden. My brother sometimes heard it as well. I would get the sudden feeling of being watched, hear footsteps when I'm home alone. My dog would just stare at random things and places with her ears perked up. Things would disappear and reappear in places that we didn't put them. I would see stuff out of the corner of my eye, and sudden freezing winds would blow into a room with a closed window in the summer. I have no idea what's happening, but I'm sick of it. I'm terrified to go anywhere in the house alone at this point. Everyone that I tell, including my family, tells me it's because I watch too many horror movies. But I'm not crazy. Does anyone know what could possibly be going on?
The Night I Almost Died by Jade. One night I was sleeping, not very well, and woke up. I'm not sure if I was having a nightmare, if I felt something off, or if I was just woken up by it. For some context that I think may be related, this was when I graduated high school and then went straight into an apprenticeship program at the church I now work for. During this time, I was only just now accepting Christianity again. Compiling all these thoughts out, I'm not even sure if they're related or not, but this was one of the most terrifying things I've ever experienced. Anyway, I woke up on my side and it was dark, darker than usual. For some reason, I felt like I really shouldn't turn around. There was something in my room, and something very dark. If I turned around, that would be it. I don't know if it would have resulted in death, but I feel like if I looked, there wouldn't be anything good for me after that. Side rant that's very important to this next bit. As a kid, when I was in my bed at night and felt scared, all I would have to do is verbally say Jesus, and it would all go away. But when I tried this time, it didn't work. I'm tearing up typing this. I felt as if it only got angrier. All I heard in my head was, "Don't turn around, stay there." I was so scared that I laid there for what felt like forever, unable to go to sleep, but unable to let myself turn over. Eventually, I finally fell asleep. When I woke up the next morning, I don't remember why, but I thought of a book I recently bought called Slewfoot. It's a story about a girl who's friends with demons. I don't really know why I bought it, but for some reason, I felt like this book had something to do with that night. Deciding I didn't want to read it anyway, I grabbed it off my shelf and checked the receipt. Guys, I'm not joking. My return expired the night I had that experience. I'm not sure if something was attached to the book, maybe to my seedling of faith in Jesus again, or what, but that book invited something. It may very well have just been a coincidence, but I'm telling you, that book had something to do with the night I think I almost died.
I'm a 21-year-old male. I was born and raised in Maine. Been here my entire life. For the past 2 years, I've been living in the middle of the woods with my grandparents, a very desolate spot between two semi-populated towns in central Maine, with little to no neighbors. It is undeniably beautiful. I've been coming to this exact house ever since I was born, and have always noticed something off about the woods. I never felt the feeling of danger, just that I was being observed. Over the years, I had grown accustomed to it and forgotten about it after I had moved during the pandemic, but now it's back. I noticed it during my first night sleeping here. Stacks of boxes still in my new room and shitty curtains hung on the wall haphazardly to ensure a sense of security. At 4:32 a.m., I woke up to what I thought was a radio right outside my door. The house had an old integrated radio speaker system wired to every room of the house, but it hadn't been connected for 2 decades. As I thought about those radios, I kept listening to what I thought was playing. It was a genre of music that I had never heard before. It was sung in a language that I didn't recognize. I had always heard tales of Wendigo and Skinwalkers here in Maine, and the newly released Mandela Catalog YouTube horror series wasn't helping with the paranoia. I kept listening, and at exactly 5:30 a.m., the noises stopped, and the sun rose. I had never been so scared in that house before that moment. Several months passed, and my grandfather gets sent to a veteran's home due to his worsening condition, so now it's just me and my grandmother. My grandfather would sometimes mention how he heard music and heard the language that he didn't understand, but I just associated that with his dementia. My grandmother would hear it too, but still I didn't think too much of it. After some time, it was October 2024. No major activity that disturbed or scared me or my grandmother, and all was relatively going well. I had been going on walks down the main road at any time of the day and was feeling safe in my environment. Late October, it started to get colder, darker, and overall more desolate. I had seen some deer staring at me in my front yard. But looking back on it, I'm not exactly sure what those six pairs of glowing white dots were. They were too high off of the ground to really be deer. I went out there and measured relative to the tree that they were near, and it got around 8 feet high. The snow kept falling over the coming weeks. The forest got quieter, and the days got shorter. I had heavy night owl tendencies due to my night shifts that I used to work, so I would go to bed anywhere between 4 and 7 a.m. Around mid-November is when the noises started. Light scratching on the side of the house, slow thumping of heavy rhythmic footsteps outside. I saw that the tracks looked bipedal, with a wide berth. I know bear, moose, deer, and human tracks well. This didn't look like any of those. I would mention it to my neighbors, and they would just ask me not to talk about it. All they would say was, "Be careful." And keep in mind, these people had been living there longer than I've been alive. I started doing research and found that the town sat upon an old Penobscot tribal land and was commonplace for rituals and burials to be held. The sound got louder and more invasive. The scratching became more of a carving motion, and the slow steps turned to a heavy and agile run. Whatever this was, it was angry. I could sense that whatever was here didn't like me, or at least didn't like what I was. It would scuttle across the roof and bang on the doors. Then one day, my grandmother told me she actually saw it. Two white glowing eyes outside her window. They were beaming into her soul from the dark forest. This was at precisely 3 a.m. I immediately burned sage outside and inside the property and made an offering to the spirits of tobacco and chicken bones. This was in line with the local tribal spirituality. I know all of this sounds like it's something out of a book or some shitty Netflix drama, but since that day, the weather has warmed up and the noises have stopped. My depression has gotten better, and I don't stay up as late anymore. But every now and then, I still get that feeling of being observed. And last night, as I passed by my old room across the hall to go to bed, I saw something big dash outside the window. Shortly after, we got a winter weather advisory. As the snow paints the landscape white, my anxiety grows. Whatever it is doesn't seem to hate me, just more so tolerates my existence. All I really know about it is that it got worse when the snow fell.
Spooky Glue Stick by Anonymous. I'm pretty sure I experienced a glitch in the Matrix. I nearly had a panic attack, and no, I wasn't on drugs or anything like that. I was simply doing a school assignment, and then this happened. My room is above the garage, so I can always tell when someone comes or goes. That night, my dog was in the room with me, but she didn't react to anything weird. Honestly, I feel like I'm more sensitive to this stuff than she is, even though it's supposed to be the other way around. I was sitting at my desk, cutting out strips of paper for a science project. I had just opened this brand new glue stick, and then I felt the garage door open and close beneath me. I didn't think much of it, but I was curious to see if I was home alone or not. So before I even started using this glue stick, I put the cap back on and set it down. Don't ask me why, but I set it in front of my display of stuffed animals, which was next to my desk. After that, I poked my head out of my room to see if I heard or saw anybody. I didn't. So I sat back at my desk and texted my stepmom. "Hey, where'd y'all go?" She replied, "I'm upstairs folding laundry. Dad left to get burgers." "Okay, I'm not alone. Good. Back to work." I reached for the glue and then noticed the cap was gone. I know for a fact I had snapped it back on not even a minute prior. But not only was the cap missing, so was the glue itself. Remember that just moments before, it was brand new. Now it's somehow empty. I did my best to remain calm, thinking, okay, the glue must have just fallen out. Hopefully not on my clothes. So I stood up again, empty glue stick in hand, and began looking around. Under the desk? No. Under the chair? Nope. Was it on me? I walked over to the mirror to check. Nothing. I looked all over my desk, around the stuffed animals, on the floor. I rummaged through every inch of everything, just to make sure I wasn't losing my mind. There was simply no trace of the glue. You might think, what if the dog ate it? Well, she was in my sight the whole time and never left my bed. What if there was more than one glue stick? What if you imagined it? Maybe you just didn't see it. Look, I'm positive about everything. As crazy as it sounds, yes, I basically turned my head, and when I turned back, my new glue stick was empty and missing its cap. Even though it would have been impossible for it to end up inside my box of art supplies, I looked there too, because why not? The search was frantic at this point, if only out of principle. I had to find this thing. Good news, there was another glue stick inside. But since I knew it couldn't have been the one I was using, it still didn't feel like my problem was solved. I left it in the box, and then set the empty glue stick back in front of my stuffed animals. Shortly after that, as I was cutting paper, I subconsciously reached for the glue stick. Except, I looked down at what was supposed to be an empty container, and saw that I was now holding the same stick of glue that had vanished earlier, complete with the familiar blue cap. I froze. Then I shot up, put the glue stick on my desk, and ripped out my headphones. What the heck? Was all I could think. I started looking around. My heart was pounding. That was exactly where I put the empty glue stick. What? How could that happen? I had to rush upstairs to the safety of my stepmom. I was on the verge of a panic attack. We sat out in the living room, and she let me vent for a while. She, of course, tried saying it could have been some other glue stick, like the one in the box of art supplies. But I checked it again, and that stick had purple glue. I also tore apart my room again, and no, there wasn't a third stick lying around. But I'm sure that other one is off glitching around somewhere.
You ever notice how grief doesn't just stick to the emotional world? Like, it kind of bleeds into the environment. You know, like places you live in start behaving differently, almost reacting to the loss.
Oh, yeah. You mean like War's haunted house story?
Yes, exactly. That one.
Yeah. And it sounds like that might be what's happening here. I don't think it's a coincidence that the first strange thing happens 2 years after the dad dies.
Yeah.
That's a long time for grief to marinate.
But what's crazy is that this wasn't just like internal. It manifested in the house. You know, they were hearing the doorknob being violently shaken at 2 a.m. while everyone else sleeps. You know, that's not just a weird feeling.
Yeah, and the mom's reaction was kind of telling. The whole probably a letter in the mailbox. The 2 in the morning thing, though, I think she's either dismissing it to keep control over the situation, or she's experienced things too, and maybe just doesn't want to open that door.
Yeah, we've had stories like that in the past where the parents are deliberately obtuse or in denial about hauntings.
Yeah.
You know, not wanting to scare the kids, but they're basically just gaslighting them.
It's like the Santa Claus thing, but just a different variation of that.
Yeah.
I agree. It doesn't help to pretend that something isn't there if there is.
Yeah. Have you heard of layered hauntings?
No, is that like a, I mean, I'm assuming that's a real thing.
Yeah.
I guess there's a research title for everything these days. I don't know. You got me there.
That's true. I'm only learning about them all because of the podcast, really.
That is the cool thing about that. Like, we have like an actual reason to go down rabbit holes, and it feels like we're, it's like a productive use of our time just to spend all this time on Wikipedia, just page after page.
So basically, layered hauntings are whenever whatever energy or presence is there isn't just communicating in one way. It's, you know, overlapping senses, sight, sound, room temperature, sometimes touch.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Like a shoulder graze, or if it whispers in your ear and you can feel it touch you, it's like, yeah, overlapping different senses at once. You're not just seeing something. You're not just hearing something.
Yeah, exactly. I guess tactile manifestation is apparently the rarest one reported.
You've got a literal haunting from something external, or an emotional haunting that's been imprinted onto the space itself.
Yeah.
But neither of those make it less terrifying when you're alone at night hearing footsteps come up the stairs.
Yeah, especially when the door's supposed to be locked.
Yeah, I'd rather deal with a spooky glue stick.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see, for as simple as it was, that story about the spooky glue stick really had me questioning the laws of physics.
Yeah, and if you're talking literally, which you probably are, it makes sense to call these things glitches in the matrix. If an object appears or disappears, something physically has to happen. So when those laws of physics are broken, there's not much else you can really hang your hat on, I guess.
Yeah, exactly that. It doesn't, you know, have to be some poltergeist type of situation to be really cool and puzzling. Just the fact that the universe can glitch out at all is really neat to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I did like how unassuming the whole story was for that same reason. Just a normal afternoon and reality decides to stop working just for a second with a glue stick.
Exactly. At the end of the day, we're sitting here talking about a glue stick, but at least we have a reason.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Yeah. We don't just sit around all day on Wikipedia reading about wormholes and glitches in the matrix. We actually have a reason to do it.
Absolutely.
But we can thank the anonymous author for casually dropping things onto the wrong timeline, I guess.
Hey, that works. That works for me. Got to give a shout out to her dog too.
Yeah.
Maybe there just wasn't any alarm bells to be worried about, but she did not seem to notice any paranormal trickery going on. So, I mean, maybe that's a good thing. The fact that all these glitches in the matrix are happening, but animals don't seem to be too bothered by them. Just hanging out, lounging on the bed.
Yeah, totally abandoned her. Good luck with the portal, human.
When she reached over and just grabbed that fully intact glue stick, I don't know, that was... because she searched through that pile high and low. And I know what it's like. We all know what it's like to really, really lose something where you can't make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not even leaving the room, sitting in a perfectly clean hardwood floored room by yourself, and you could lose a bowling ball. It's ridiculous how that can happen. Yeah, no, I totally believe the author. That's just completely mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a magic trick. It happens all the time, except, you know, being amazed by the trick, you just want to burn your freaking house down.
Yeah. I love the way that her brain immediately went nope and just booked it upstairs to find her stepmom.
Yeah.
Didn't even try to act cool about it. Just full survival mode activated. I guess that would be a flight. Yeah, that was a frightful flight.
Mm-hmm. That's, I guess, the only appropriate action.
Yeah.
You don't argue with the glitch. You can't negotiate with reality.
No.
Especially when it's already cracked.
Yeah, the code is cracked for good.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. yeah. You know what this makes me think of? Those stories where people are missing something for weeks and then it shows up in the most impossible spots.
Oh my God. Like, yeah.
Right on top of a clean countertop, right in plain sight, where you know you not only like passed a million times, but like actively, obsessively checked the most pointless nooks and crannies of that area. And boom, there it is, just right there, neatly packaged and in front of your face. So aggravating.
I do also think that that is a guy thing. It happens to us a lot. My wife will ask me to get something for her. I'll ask her where it's at. I'll go look exactly where she told me. I can't find it. I look everywhere. She goes back and looks and it's right there.
Could be.
I don't understand it, but I don't know. When you think you like locked the front door, and you know you did it, and then it's just standing wide open. These things happen all the time for some reason.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. That's a good one. And then it always makes me wonder, like, are these accidents or just a bug in the matrix? Like,
yeah.
Maybe it's a worm. I don't know. That's not how a worm works, if we're being technical, or a Trojan, but whatever. We don't even know what it could be. It could be like an actual person. It could just be like a mischievous hacker trying to poke around and see what we can notice and talk about.
Yeah. Like some cosmic intern clicking the wrong folder. Oops. Glued the glue stick back into existence. I hope management doesn't notice.
Oh man, I must have misplaced a decimal point. Office Space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why a glue stick though? Why not something cooler? If you're going to glitch reality, at least make it something fun. Like, I don't know, a Christmas ornament. Like a Halloween-themed Christmas ornament in the middle of summer. Something where you know it just couldn't end up in some super conspicuous location in the time that it did. Like, give us something really cool to work with.
Honestly, I feel like the simulation is just cheap at this point. Half of the time, it's like, here's your mysterious missing sock. You know, we're never waking up and gaining back decades of our life or something useful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like an unwritten rule. Life can't be too fun or too cool. That would just make too much sense, you know?
Yeah.
Sugar is too amazing. Vegetables. Actually, no, I think vegetables taste really good. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
weeds can grow so easily, but you can't just have a nice lawn. Like, nothing's ever easy.
Yeah.
I still can't get over how casual she was at first, the author.
Yeah.
You know you're a chill person when your glue stick just disappears from reality entirely and you just go back to your arts and crafts like nothing happened. I like that. No reason to get too worked up.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'd be filling some missing persons report for the glue stick and staging a seance by the couch.
Stanley Stickley. I feel like he was probably made with a glue stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what else is weird, though? The fact that her instincts told her something was off before anything else happened. Just the urge to kind of get up and check the house just to see if she was alone, which is still normal behavior. But I feel like the stage was kind of set prior to all that. And just the dog, I guess, initially kind of seeming a little off. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows what it could be?
Yeah, your gut always knows before your brain does. And the room just like gets heavier. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or your chest. Something will tip you off, some sort of physical sensation, I feel. And you just kind of listen to that and ask yourself, what exactly is your body trying to tell you?
Yeah, for me, it's just like this wave of nausea almost. You just like your body just feel like a cold sweat almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I feel like a heaviness and a tingliness across my chest and my back and shoulders. Oh, it's like a good one, though. It's like a whoa, okay, whoa. Yeah, it's one of those. It's not like a, oh no, anxiety.
Yeah.
It's very, interesting. Like the meme of the anime guy like holding the butterfly saying, what is
this? Oh yeah, I love that. I miss those days.
It's like that. Yeah, that's how it feels to me whenever I get the little, get the Shining or whatever you want to call it.
Man, the Windows 7 era of life. I love it.
We should go to where the Windows XP picture was taken. It's not too far from where we live. It's like an hour away, hour or so. I think we could actually accomplish that. It's just right there in Napa Valley. We could do it. We could do that.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. I've been playing with Windows 98, PC emulator on my Windows 10 computer, and it just, man, it takes me back to the simpler times of Windows when you got on the computer with like a mission and a purpose and you did that. There were no distractions. You know what I mean? It was the good life, man.
There's variety and websites you could check out and share with your friends. And
yeah, it was a place to go. It wasn't just something that's attached to us all day long.
It really was.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. Wow. Now I'm just so sad. No, it's all good. I don't really think any of that is really like in the imagination. Going back to the whole disappearing and reappearing objects, our body just picks up on stuff that's not always plainly visible, you know? Like maybe only our unconscious brain makes the connection, and then our body just can't help itself. And it's just like, hey, please just look into this. Something's going on here. And we just can't make sense of it. So we just rationalize it away and leave it alone. But there could be something more there.
Yeah. And that's why I always say, if something feels weird, just trust your gut and get out. Don't go poking around the glitch, trying to make sense of it.
Bingo. Don't go poking the bear.
Yeah.
And if your glue stick disappears, like mid-school project, just leave it. Just leave it. Let the ghosts have it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just take the F on the assignment and live to tell the tale.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that the author didn't try to pull anything crazy looking for it.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we go on, I just want to give the author Move Frosty some info on their experience.
The out of body variety, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Everything that you experienced being lost in the blackness of space, you know, no identity, no time, that like state between wakefulness and sleep. This is the perfect time to practice some astral projection techniques.
What about the wind?
Oh yeah, so that is pretty common as well. A lot of people will hear or feel this whooshing wind sensation that moves up and down their body.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think it could be related to that vibrational state that Robert Monroe always talks about. My dad gets it all the time, and I keep telling him, you got to read that book. But, you know, Robert Monroe, he was able to like control it and make it move up and down, head to toe, exactly like the author described it happening.
It sounds like he did have a bit of an astral experience with all the voices and stuff.
Yeah, I think so too. My friend Rich West, he's like an expert on this stuff, along with a lot of other crazy stuff that I'm not even into myself, but it's entertaining. Anyways, he describes the differences between the out-of-body experience and astral projection as having to do with actually leaving this plane of existence and entering the astral realm.
That would make sense. Astral being its own entirely existence that it goes beyond what we're even capable of experiencing or capable of perceiving.
Yep.
So out of body would just be like you're floating out of your physical body. So we're within the confines of this physical realm, and maybe this universe and its unique laws coexist with a different entire reality, the astral realm.
Yeah, the way that Robert Monroe figured out how to kind of like break through the astral realm was like he would make portals, like he would summon portals in front of him, like a la Doctor Strange, and he would go through them to different astral realms. But yeah, you can travel to different planets, universes, different astral realms. It's more of a psychedelic trip type of experience than an out-of-body experience. But that's how it goes. Yeah, but I'd recommend the author check out Robert Monroe's books on the subject. It's fun stuff. We talk about it all the time on the show here. But let's wrap things up. Anyways, thank you everyone for listening. And make sure if you want to hear your stories on the show, you send them to stories@oddtrails.com. That's the only way to get them on the show. And sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes. You'll support the show, keep us going, and it's the best way to listen to the podcast. And finally, be sure to check out the new episodes of my other shows like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radio Cast. We'll see you all next week. Everybody stay safe.
Peace out.
Don't let the ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.